Hi, I am Christopher, the clairvoyant. I am under the influence with Ernesto and Jean.
Hello!
Hello! This is Jean Moore.
This is Ernesto Ortiz.
Welcome back to the show.
And we're under the influence.
It is under the influence. And thank you again. This is our second show. Thank you for coming back in and taking a little, you know, look-see, here's-see on what we're doing.
And if you're new to the show, well, welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Last week's show was great. We had the great Jake Woods. God, he was really nice, wasn't
really cool.
He?
Yeah,
really nice.
Cool guy.
He's good-looking and giving back to the community. That's really nice. And then we had Kenny Bean.
Very funny. I love him.
Hilarious. He makes me pee all the time.
We need him back on the show.
He's insane. And then the...
Corbett.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Very smart guy.
And today's show, we have one guest, because we're trying to find our way here. And so we have the clairvoyant Chris.
Who is a very, very... I mean, I'm the biggest skeptic with these things. And
oh, you are?
Yeah. And, yeah, I don't think I mentioned that in it. But, I learned a lot.
So. I know you were a little bit nervous about it because you were telling me, you know, I'm Catholic, I don't want a reading.
Yeah, you know, I'm very Mexican, so, and Catholic.
I know.
And the only readings I do are two other queens.
Hello.
So, hello.
So you're going to do it. So, let me ask you, Ernesto, did you perform this week?
I did.
Where did you perform?
I did. I performed at, it was my first time at Sendejas.
Which is
a great room. And I was with, opening with a... for the very, 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 very talented and hilarious Roberto Rodriguez.
I hear a lot about him.
Yeah, he's... Oh my God, he was
mostly
hilarious.
From you.
Yeah, he's great. He's actually originally from Tucson.
Oh, really?
He went to the comedy school in Tempe and, you know, did his thing locally and then spread his wings, took up to LA, and he's doing... He's a touring comic.
It's funny how in the Valley, though, at least, you know, there's comedians, you hear their names all the time, but you don't know them.
Yeah.
You see their pictures, but you don't know them, so it's funny.
Yeah, it was a great cast, too. I mean, who was there? Comedian Santos, Marcus Boogie Williams, who else was there? Jazzy from 101.5. She's fierce. She loves drag queens, and she said that she tries to do her makeup like a drag queen. She's so funny. She's so funny. And Art Delgado killed it. So it was a great show.
I want to come to one of your shows. Yeah. I want to come see that.
It made me so nervous, though.
Do I have to bring a knife, or do I just bring?
No. Yeah. Well, because of me. But.
I like the shirt you're wearing. I love cholos.
Yeah, because I do love cholos.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't? It's funny. My good friend of mine posted on. I put that on Facebook because it's kind of a hint to come to the show. And my friend posted, "What? Duh, who's that? Who doesn't?" But it was a the show. Actually, I mean, I'm always nervous before I get on stage, but this one was especially nerve wracking because right there in the front were my mom and dad.
Oh.
And
is it the first time ever you performed?
First time ever, in front of them. Yep. I mean, she saw some videos and whatever, but this first time. And there's some things I say in my show, in my act, that I wouldn't dare say in front of my mother. And and she loved it.
How did your dad handle that one joke where you say, where the lady says, your son's been playing with dolls? And he said, oh, and you go, and you end it. The punchline is, my dad said I was cute.
My dad said I was pretty. Oh, yeah. You know, he likes it, I think, because it's based on a true story, actually. Yeah. I moved into my first apartment, and some guy said some horrible shit to me, and my dad totally came.
Well, I mean, when you set it up, I mean, what were you wearing? You were wearing...
I say that I'm wearing... moving into my first apartment, I was about 19, and I set up my outfit because it's a cute outfit, so I had these little booty shorts on... that said Thug Life on the ass.
An Paula Abdul t-shirt.
Yeah. I saw him laughing, so it was good.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Were you nervous? How'd you feel afterwards, though?
Afterwards, I thought I was going to throw up.
Yeah.
And because of that situation, it ended up being my parents went, and then my brother shows up, my sister shows up with her boyfriend, and so everyone, and a lot of friends that usually have been wanting to come out, but they haven't been able to. So the room was stacked with a lot of my friends. So it was good energy. And I you know that pressure where you're like, I better do good. I better not bomb.
Yeah. Because in your head, you're thinking, if I knew all you were coming, I would have really,
yeah, I would have really,
really got ready.
Yeah, because yeah.
But is there such a thing as being really, really ready? No.
And you know, I have this thing now. Like I'll rehearse.
Yeah.
But after a point, I'm like, that's it. I'm not rehearsing anymore. That's it.
Yeah.
So,
I just gotta let it be.
Yeah, I just gotta let it be. But it was great. It was a lot of fun. I'm gonna be doing that room again in November.
What do you got coming up next?
Next, I got. A new room called Cleopatra's. I love it. That's the best room for a gig.
Comedy for people in denial.
Oh, yay. That is actually next Thursday, so I didn't write down the date here. But next Thursday at 9 p.m., and there's some other great comedians. Sierra Miranda, who is hilarious, is going to be there. Art Delgado, Jorge Reese, he's another amazing comedian. So it's going to be fun times. We're also going to do... on October 21st at Fuego's, I don't know if it's been, we're announcing it yet, but by the time this comes out, it should be announced. But October 21st at Fuego's, we're going to do a comedy night there. It's going to be a lot of hot Latino comedians in Taliesin, so comedy on the west side.
I've been there one time.
Don't speak.
Yeah, I know.
What's going on with you?
Not much. I performed this week at Jackson's. That was interesting. I'm doing new. I need to have material that I can pivot on when I'm going too gay and I feel like I'm losing the audience. So I need to have material that I can pivot to. And so this week, that's what's been my focus. So I did that at Jackson's. It went okay.
And then, where's Jackson's at?
It's on Scottsdale, and it's right off of the Chris. 101. It's off the 101.
Oh my god, what was that?
Yeah. It was our backroom producer. lying. No, so you know, it was good. It was a good, it just felt weird because I wanted no gay. No, not because I'm ashamed or anything like that. I just wanted to see if I could do it. The challenge of doing it. And it was hard because I don't feel like I use my gay, like, you know, some people use something and it's a lazy way of getting a laugh. Mm-hmm. I don't try to do that, but it's definitely hard to. I don't, like last night I did it and I was, and these girls were flirting with me and I was like flirting back and I'm like, hold it, I'm really gay. And
oh my
like,
god.
It was getting too crazy and I'm like, no. So
no.
They were responding and I'm here trying to do, you know, one type of humor and they're responding and it's going a different way. And I'm like, no, I'm not hitting on you. Believe me.
Oh god. Please, honey. Your shoes are cute though.
Yeah. Your boyfriend. Tell him to quit staring at me.
Oh.
I got a man. Don't fall in love because I'm taking honey. So I mean that's good. So you know, and I'll be doing that next week. I'll be at Zenadeus, that same room. With Ron, the headliner is Ron Mori, and then all next weekend too. So,
very cool.
Yeah. So all that's right. What we've been doing. So, what's been going on in the news? Anything?
Oh my god!
Besides the embassy, have you heard about that?
The embassy. Yeah.
Have you heard? Did you hear Hillary Clinton? She don't play. She's pissed. She's telling those people. Look, I'm paraphrasing. She's pretty much saying, "Look, you motherfuckers are gonna get your asses beat."
Yeah, and I saw that. I saw her speaking.
She doesn't play.
Yeah,
she's pissed. Tough. She doesn't even put a beret in her hair. Her hair is all crazy woman looking.
Oh, I love it. Yes. She's going for effect.
And then the other thing, I don't know. Did you hear about Sally Struthers being arrested with a DUI
under the influence? Hello. Yay! Mm-hmm. Wow, her whole. After what was it, All in the Family?
Yeah. Well, then she became a dean at a college that where you could go and you could learn VCR repair, taxidermy, tax accounting. Remember that?
Yeah, like Penn Foster.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
All you gotta do, it's a correspondence school. Send away for it now.
I think they even have art classes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you could fix, you know, your VCR.
She did the world or the kids charity.
Oh, the
hungry one.
Yeah, I think when she was eating the food though.
Yeah, I know. Poor thing. Oh my god.
You're sending rice and you think it's going to these kids.
And
it's going
her.
To
her. She's also
it's making. Yeah. So
making meals.
Anything else happening?
I don't know. I don't have anything happening. I'm living a boring life right now.
I think the biggest thing too, in my other world, is the Oreo cookies. Who knew that Oreo cookies made 17 fucking flavors?
Yeah,
did you know this?
No, but I saw your what is it? Your photo Facebook, which turned into like a big photo diary
every day
of of different types of Oreos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to keep it fun at work. But, you know, also I'm trying to show the corporate sponsors that I'm available.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah, they didn't. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Genius. This is how, you
make
your coin.
I'm planting my seed. Get them coins, girl. Get them coins. Got to make that money. No, so yeah, but I just want to report to you in case you don't need to go out there and buy it. The candy corn, which you get exclusively at Target, is my understanding. The candy corns were good, but the creamsicle Oreos, they taste like chemicals.
Mm.
Girl, I know chemicals.
Oh, my God. Been there. If I had a nickel.
Yeah, they were gross. But the peanut butter ones, oh my, and the double fudge ones, they were just, those were the good ones. But towards the end of the week, we were getting kind of bored, so we were taking and making things, like taking the peanut butter and the berry blast and making peanut butter and jelly Oreos. We were making them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, so creative.
Yeah, yeah. Well, point. If you don't drink, this is what you do. You said you mix cookies.
You mix cookies?
Yeah.
<They're> mix- you don't mix drugs, you mix cookies.
Yeah, that's
it. Oh, wow.
So,
well. I think we should start the show.
Oh, well, let's start the show then. It's going to be a good one. Yeah, it's a really, really...
Oh, I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, yeah.
I was scared for a little bit.
You
Someone
were.
Knocked on the door. I almost peed on my pants.
They did. When they knocked on the door. Because it was at an integral part of the... We were talking about my dead mother.
Oh, and there was a knock. She knocked on the door. Well, you'll hear all about it. Yeah. So, welcome to the show.
And three is company, too.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us again. We actually have a very, 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 very exciting guest on the show today. And he's sitting right next to me. Very handsome gentleman. His name is Christopher Clairvoyant. Is that
yes,
what you go by?
That's right.
Okay. Christopher and I have known each other for about 4 years. We're trying to figure it out. And we've already had a very, very interesting conversation. Gene is going crazy writing notes on things he needs to do. But Chris is a clairvoyant, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Or Christopher, sorry. Christopher is a clairvoyant. So explain to us, what is a clairvoyant?
A clairvoyant is someone that scents, feels, tastes, someone that sees events going to happen, but real clearly.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Go. Let's go to this. When you were a child, and you kind of knew that this was happening. Like, when did you first know, like, cognizant?
At the age of 15.
15.
Wow. Yeah. There was a home, my childhood home. And one day I was just sitting on the couch, and suddenly I got this vibe that somebody was in the house besides me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, right there at that moment, I said, "Who is here?" And at that second, I saw a big, bright, white light.
Mm-hmm.
It just came right across me, and it zoomed in and zoomed out. And that was the first time I had my first experience with the spiritual. Yeah.
Was it a fearful feeling or like a loving feeling? What did you
feel? It was more like a very calm, peaceful feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it wasn't threatening at all?
No.
Mm-hmm. And up until 15th, like nothing? Maybe little things or...
From there on, I started seeing spirits,
mm-hmm.
Shadows. I started knowing people. Like, someone's going to pass away. I kind of knew a couple days early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But let's go back to, like, when you were 15, though. I mean, like, did you get into a car accident? Or was there something that happened? Or
what triggered it?
Yeah.
Well, this is funny. Well, I didn't know that the property that my mother had bought,
mm-hmm.
that somebody passed away in that yard, that property.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know that, but I always had a feeling that somebody was in the house besides, you know,
yeah,
like spirits or something like that. I always knew that. I would get the hints of windows shutting, doors slamming, the steps, because we have stairs, somebody walking up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So those kind of feelings. And then one day I just sat in the living room and that was that moment, and it happened. And that's where I saw that spirit. And that's when my mother told me, that you know that someone died here.
Oh.
On this property.
Mm. 2 + 2 = 4.
Well, then, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So did you tell your parents you were seeing those things?
Actually, no. I started telling them when I was probably 25.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I didn't want them to think I was crazy or
yeah.
there was something wrong with me.
Yeah. No, like, when after that, how long before the next time something happened from when you were 15? Like,
Actually, the second experience was at the age of 24. when I had a near-death experience, mm-hmm. where I really saw myself pass away. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, you know, people say there's a heaven, there's a tunnel, and this and that, which is that is all true, mm-hmm. okay? I remember that I was just laying in bed. I saw myself rising up. It was a tunnel, like clouds, but it was real pinkish. And I can hear this noise, like a vacuum cleaner, like going. Mm-hmm. So then I remember going up towards the sky. And then when I get there, there's a man standing there with curly hair, white gown. But also I remember that he had some kind of like designs on this gown, mm-hmm. like golden designs. And he just gave me this peaceful look, smiling. But I knew it wasn't my time to go forward. You know, it was time for me to go back. And I remember coming down again from that tunnel and then back to my bed. And that's when I woke up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow, did this just happen? Because I remember everything, how I left and how I got there and I came back.
How did you feel though? Were you scared, nervous?
No, I felt like, oh my God, that I wasn't afraid to die no more. Yeah. That I was like this peaceful, loving, I'm ready and, you know. Like, I have a mission. Like, things were clearly why I'm here.
Yeah, clear. Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever lost anyone in your life? Like, really close to you?
Yes.
Before that, though, or?
It wasn't before that. Oh, no.
Yeah. How does that, when they passed, did you know they were passing kind of, like, right before, or?
I met this woman who's a psychic, she lived in Guadalupe Town, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. Guadalupe Town is very known for a lot of psychics, fortune tellers, mediums. It's just a little spiritual town. Mm-hmm. Well, I met this lady, her name is Margie, and I used to go to her, mm-hmm. and she would, you know, give me readings. And then the next time I saw her, I kind of had a feeling, I told her, you know what? I had a feeling that you're going to go. And she told me, she goes, I know, she goes, I'm gonna leave this world, but I need you to pray for me. Mm-hmm. So then a week later, that's when she passed away.
You know? And so you kind of already knew.
I already knew.
Do you think, am I talking too much?
No.
Do you think though, when you go, like her, do you get a sense that you'll see her again?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the funny thing, I'm glad that you brought that up. But
have you seen her already?
I had dreams that I saw her and she was there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, what are you doing in my dream? She goes, I'm just here making sure you're okay. Mm-hmm. Like, she's guiding me, okay? Mm-hmm. And then from there, I went to this medium. His name is Dave Campbell. And that he's in Glendale. He has his own little store called Astrology Store. And he's the one told me, he goes, you've seen this lady. You've seen her in your dreams. Well, she's still with you, isn't mm-hmm. that? So
you do see her.
Uh-huh.
So, you're saying that at 15 was the first time that you realized this, or your first
experience. Yeah.
What happened after that? Is there a school that you go to, or a mentor, or how did you develop your skills, or walk us through that?
Well, the tarot reading, I did that on my own. Mm-hmm. But see, the person that passed away named Margie is the one that guided me, mm-hmm. because she's the one that used to do all this tarot reading, and that's how I learned, because I can remember hearing her, you know, this is what it means, you know, she kept on pushing me mm-hmm. to do it. So I pretty much got my guidance from her. I didn't go to school for this. I didn't take no classes at
all. Is there anyone in your family that has this?
The spiritual? No.
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 So you really are. So does the universe kind of take care of its own and send you people that can help you? Or?
Yes. Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah. Now I had so many. Now I know a lot of people, mm-hmm. and I have a lot of guidance, and now I'm not lost like how I was.
Yeah. So you said there's a network. You mentioned earlier to us in the pre-interview that there was a network of people that you belong to, or a group.
A paranormal group.
Paranormal group.
Yeah.
That would be more like for a referral service for us, or is that an actual network that you're affiliated with?
Actually, like a network that I am with, yeah.
Oh, cool. And so those are some of the people where you're mentioning, I know someone who can do this, and that.
Yeah, it's a group of people that we go out homes, mm-hmm. buildings, and we try to investigate what's going on there, you know, ghost hunting, stuff like that.
And go and see. Now, are you nervous? Because if you go, are you feel like you're messing with something you have no business with, or like you're gonna bring that energy back? Or
actually, no, I just go for it.
Yeah,
you know, and once I step a foot inside that building or home, right away I start picking up energies and I start telling them, you know, what I feel, what's going on here.
Yeah. Are they just people that are just stuck, that they don't want to go, or what?
Well, there's the people that are stuck, usually they have still a mission to complete here, either to help a family member, protect them,
or they guide them to that stuff.
Yeah, it's their choice because they don't want to go. Mm-hmm. Or unfinished business, you understand? There's other people, other spirits are stuck here because either they're a murderer, they committed suicide, or something like that, mm-hmm. you know, that bad tragedy. They're stuck because either fear they don't want to move on, or fear that nobody's going to know the real truth about them, what happened to them. You know, so they're kind of stuck.
So the spirits will still have emotions, feelings. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just seems so sad. How does the spirit get released from, for example, a murder, and they're stuck? You said they might not even know they're dead.
Actually, when I go into a home and I see a spirit there, and they're like, okay, you know, I ask questions to them. You know, it's like, do you want to go home? Do you need help? What's your purpose here? And they'll start telling me, or I'll start picking up their energies or images. If they're stuck, and I'll tell them, you know what, I can open a door for you, the white light, mm-hmm. so you can go towards that, or else I'll light a white candle for them and say, and I'll tell them, you know, go towards that white light and then, you know, look above you and, you know, go home, you know. So it's basically, it's really a choice for them, you know, you want to go or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
So all of these things, the things you're talking about are very intense. And I have to bring this up because I'm sure other people are thinking and listening. So I grew up very Catholic, or very Christian, very religious. And the first thing our parents will say is, stay away from that, because it's not, you know, that's not what you're taught. Stay away from that. What do you say to that? Is this some people will say this is satanic. What do you say about that? What is your feeling on that? Your personal feeling.
My feeling is, you know, I think everybody has a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, if you believe it, you believe it. If you don't, you don't. Mm-hmm. You know, and the spiritual, there is good and bad, mm-hmm. which is true, you know. But there's people that are not going to understand that. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between good and bad and the spiritual way? You know, there's good things to help people, and there's bad things to do bad. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, I think everybody has their own opinion, and you know, you have a choice.
A choice to either
go or not.
Yeah. Like the ghosts. It's funny because when I grew up, we're very Catholic, is to talk about limbo, where you go, that in between. And so it's just something, as you grow older, you just think it doesn't exist anymore. But it is. It is like a plane just a little bit above Earth. Is that what it is? Or is that bad for the people that go to limbo? Or
limbo is like between Earth and hell.
So it's lost.
Lost. It's just like, the way I can put it, it's like a spirit that's didn't choose to go home. Mm-hmm. It's stuck. That's limbo. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that. They're just stuck.
Now, in limbo, is there like a organized way? I mean, like, I don't understand. Is there just completely lost? Just spirits, correct?
It's more like spirits are just lost. They're stuck. And
just like trying to find themselves around.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So when a person asks for your services, I guess the question I'm trying to ask, what would people come to you for, and what would you do for them?
Well, a lot of people come for is, you know, it's about love, money, career, health issues, you know, and I try to, you know, give them all I can, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm also give them remedies that can help them, you know, spiritualize, things that they can do in their home, clean themselves and stuff.
I think the most common would be, you know, in this world we work with, or even in our families, people that are very negative, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, they're very toxic. What's a good remedy for that?
That's simple. You can always use rosemary, mm-hmm. okay? You can burn it in a home to cleanse your home. You can bathe in rosemary to wash away all the bad energies, bad spirits, hexes, curses, stuff like that.
And so the rosemary we were talking about earlier, you boil it down and just get the water.
Yeah.
And that's the water that you
put on your body, yeah.
To kind of give it away. Now, when you are meandering through your normal life, Do you feel those toxic people coming at you? Are they extra strong because of this?
Yes. Yeah.
Because they're... What is that that they have? I mean, obviously, they're just not happy people, but what is that? Is it something... Is it a demon in them, or...?
No, it's not a demon. It's just bad energies. It's things that they're going through, either a breakup, or either, you know, feel their health is a little bit off balance. I can feel like they're either depressed, or I feel like when people are upset. So it's just energy. Sometimes, you know, that person might not be going through all those things, but they can pick up someone else's bad energy.
Yeah.
And it can get attached to you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's important to cleanse yourself.
That happens to me, you know, right? Because when I do comedy, I leave myself very open to feeling energy of others, you know, because I want to perform for them. And so I do, I don't know, I probably bullshit, but I feel like I drop something so I can pick that up, but I can take... Because a lot of the... Like, we're in the back before they call us on the stage. We're back there with a lot of these comedians, and the comedians, per se, are not happy people.
Right.
They're not the most healthy people, per se. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just like life, but it seems to be a very negative, very narcissistic, very... Ooh, I don't know, what are they?
Very true.
Yeah. It's you pick up on that energy.
Right.
And you feel it. And, you know, and then you try to be nice. And you're trying to get your head right for your performance. But you feel, because you're like, I'm letting this down for them, not for you, but they get in. So the rosemary would be a way to kind of protect that.
Right. Yeah. But something like in your case, you can also do is always imagine yourself in a white light. You know, you ask the Lord or, you know, anybody that you believe in, your angels, your saints, ask them to surround you in the white light, and that will be like a shield of a protection, and you won't feel those energies, you know. Just a simple prayer, you know.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. I mean, what you're saying, Gene, makes sense. It's so funny you bring that up, because I thought that the other day. I was backstage and I said, oh my gosh, this is exhausting. Everyone's talking about all kinds of crazy things, but I understand. I mean, some people will tell you that comedy comes out of the most tragic and dark and horrible situations.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we go on stage and it's very therapeutic. You feel drained. You go on stage, you get off, and there's this high that you get because you just let it all out.
Yes.
And the dark place is true. I mean, I feel like good comedy comes there if it's channeled and focused correctly. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you go to that, like it's in the basement, and you go and you take stuff from the box that's dark and you take it, but then you kind of put it in a way that is not going to be harmful to others, I feel like, and then you're just showing people, look, and you make fun of it in a way, and you put it back. But I think if you don't know how to put it back and you're not really sure what you have, you shouldn't be messing with that.
It
will eat you alive, and it makes, and then when you go on stage, people see that, they feel that energy, because, you know, and you're like, oh, I don't like this guy.
Yeah, he's creepy. Yeah.
I think everybody feels what you feel. They just categorize it in a very elementary way. They're like, oh, he's creepy. He's a raper. He's this. That's raper energy, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I have a question for you. So there's a lot of skeptics out there. And there's these stories that you'll see on the news of people that are not who they are, say they are, and taking advantage of people. How do you know a person is legitimate?
Oh, that's easy. So we'll call those scammers.
Yeah.
Let's just say that I, you know, Ernie goes to a fortune teller. Mm-hmm. The fortune teller does her reading. The fortune teller says, well, you have a curse. And he said, oh my God, you know, I want to get rid of it. And then the next questions he's going to ask is, how much is it? Oh, it's about $4,000 or $5,000 for me to get this and this and that. Well, right there, that gives you a hint. That's a scam right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's some people out there, they just invent things to scare you, you know, to get you all going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you're going to say the first thing, yeah, help me. And, you know, what's, you know, help me how to get rid of this and this and that. That's one way. Another way, they'll try to sell you, let's just say, a bottle of water. I'll sell this for $100. And it's magical. It's going to help you, you know, cleanse and get rid of all these bad things. Well, that's another lie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's people who are really, truly do their job right.
Mm-hmm.
They're really true psychics, mediums, clairvoyants, and there's other scammers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best way to know who's a true spiritual person is by a referral by other people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the best way.
That's the best way. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Do you find that you're often tired a lot? Does this drain you?
It does. It takes a lot of energy. Yeah. It does. Yeah.
So, like, are you depressed a lot, or? Probably depressed is the wrong word. You're just trying to get that off of you?
Yes. Well, there's times I have to recharge. Yeah. When I feel like that I have low energies, I recharge myself. You know, I use crystals, spiritual baths, stuff like that, that I can
get back. Do you hike or what? Do you hike or?
I do. I do a lot of hiking, a lot of walking.
Yeah.
You know, those things can get my mind clear.
How do you feel about, like, Sedona, Arizona? How do you feel about that?
Oh, that place. I love that place. It's very spiritual.
You like it?
Oh, yeah.
Where's the most, in, like, the whole world, where do you go where you just feel recharged?
Recharged? I would say California, next to the ocean. The ocean is one thing where you can get your mind clear.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, a lot of people don't know this. If you go into the ocean, you take all the problems that you have and you leave them in the ocean. It's like a cleansing. It's because it's sea salt. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's a good way to release all the bad things in there. Leave them there and come out. Come and purify.
Mm.
Very cool. You know, I have. Can I ask you, like, specific questions? Look. Personal questions?
Uh-huh.
Or examples, maybe?
Did
I have a friend. No, okay, so in my past life, I lived a pretty wild life. I'm pretty boring now. But, and I think that's why I'm a comedian now, because of past experiences. But there was, I know I've had conversations with you, and you said you're probably sensitive to things. I remember one case, many years ago, I had a really bad drug problem, and it was, I was using crystal meth like every person here in Arizona, but it got out of hand, and there was a time when I, didn't sleep for, I'm gonna say maybe 3 days, and finally I was trying to get to bed, and I just couldn't do it because the drug, I mean, the drug's so strong, but there was, and it was a very sad time, very, you know, it was a bad situation. But I just remember one of the things that kind of scared me, I guess, straight, oh God, was I was sitting in my room trying to sleep, and it was weird because I couldn't sleep sitting laying down, so I would sit up and kind of lean against the wall, I just couldn't, I was uncomfortable, and I started looking around my room, and I know that when you don't sleep, your mind plays tricks on you, but this was very different. I looked around my room, and in every corner, I would see a man standing, and I looked in another corner, and I saw another man standing, and saw another man standing. I said, no, my mind's just messing with me. It's just fucking with me. But the thing that scared me was I looked outside the door, and mind you, I never keep the bedroom door open. When I sleep, I'll usually shut it. I keep it open now, but I usually would shut it, and the door was open, and I looked, and I said, what the hell is out there? And this little man was standing there, but he looked horrible, almost like a little, you know the Dracula movie, the old one, where the guy had the pointy ears?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, oh my God, I'm seeing something. I don't know what it is. And he looked directly at me. The other ones, I could never see faces, but this one looked directly at me, and I freaked out, and I shut the door, and I said, oh my God. And that's one of the moments that said, I need to clean up, because this is messing with me. I guess the question would be, what was that? What the hell was that? Was it just my mind, I need to sleep? Or, but I thought it was way more than that.
No, it wasn't your mind. It was just, it's a spiritual level where there's lower energies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tell people, you know, that people who dream, do drugs, you're going to get attachments, dark spirits that used to do that here on Earth and they crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get those attachments and you're going to see them. You're going to see those shadows around you. So it's basically dark energy, because you're going through that dark moment. They're going to want to feed on you because they like that. That's how they... It's kind of like you're feeding them.
Oh, like they're getting high again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to me, it sounds like you did see something spiritual. It wasn't like your mentality that you're going crazy. and stuff like that.
Right, right. And you know, another situation, and this one freaks me out, but it freaks me out, but it doesn't. My sister and I laugh about it because it's a situation that we share. Mm-hmm. So when I was a teenager, I think I was around 18. I went to go live in my dad's house. And it was the spare bedroom that he had. And right by the, let me back up. It was a moment when I was still experimenting with drugs. And I was asleep. And I looked over and I saw this lady there. And then I started hearing tapping in the window. And I was like, what the hell's going on? And I was like, there must be a storm. I didn't know really what it was. But I was just trying to sleep. And I looked over and I saw a lady in the corner. And I didn't see her feet. She looked like my friend Malik, who was transgender. And I was like, what the hell is she doing here? but the silhouette did. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh my gosh, someone's there. And it's totally like in kind of like in the movies where you see the people, they're in white. Or like a grayish color, and they're you kind of see through them. It was definitely that, and I was like, "What is going on there?" But I, at first, it alarmed me. But I was like, "You have to leave. You have to get out of here." But in that second, when I said that, all of a sudden, that their face was in my face, and I woke up and screamed. Right? I was like, "Oh my god!" And my dad's like, "What the hell's wrong with you?" Okay, so that's that. And I knew she was there. I knew she was there. Years later. My sister went to go live with my dad, and all of a sudden she tells me, and she's in that same bedroom, she tells me, oh my god, Ernie, something's happening because Bambi, which is her little dog, keeps sleeping in this corner, and all of a sudden I woke up and I saw this lady, and she described her exactly, and I said, oh my god, I had never told anyone about this situation, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, oh my gosh. Later, I moved to Texas, and my sister calls me because I was coming to visit, and she says, oh my god, when you get to dad's house, take a look at this picture he bought from a yard sale. It's gonna freak you out. And so I go, and he has this picture up, which is the ugliest thing I've ever seen, but still, I look at the picture, and standing in front of the house is that same lady. Her face is smudged. It's the same lady, and I keep telling my dad, take that damn thing down. Mm-hmm. But it's a thing that that we had seen. We share, and we always say, oh my god, I'm not staying the night at dad's house because he has that lady there. yeah.
But those are either attachments to like, oh, I like this table, I adore it, and this and that. You know, that's a big energy. It could be a picture frame. Or it could be a spirit that, you know, just that was a happy moment in that home.
In that particular moment.
Yeah. And the one that you're, this woman, she was a good person, you know, very, she just wasn't ready to leave yet, mm-hmm. You know. So she's going to still be wandering around there. And it's just a happy home for her. And she's going to keep staying there. And another thing, it could be that she's protecting the homers or the people that live there.
Yeah, so don't fear her.
No, don't fear her.
After a while, I think we came to accept, oh, she's there. So
the way you saw that spirit, that's how I see them. Uh-huh. You know, like grayish, you know, like another dimension. Yeah.
Let me ask, I have two questions on this. Like, when you do drugs, you attract the bad energies. Is there a drug that you could do that attracts good ones? Or is that no?
No.
Okay.
No. When I said about the dark spirits,
yeah.
Well, they can go into a home where there's a lot of fighting. Well, those dark energy, those dark shadows will start going to that home because they're feeding off of that energy. Mm-hmm. So it makes them a little bit more stronger. And then they can cause more harm in that family. Not physically harm, but more like a...
mischiefy.
More conflicts.
Yeah.
More sadness. You know, more arguments.
Mm.
Yeah, and to do that, you know, I would recommend people to burn sage.
Do the sage?
Yeah, because dark energies don't like good smelling stuff. They don't like a home to be purified. You know, they like to go in homes that are dark, bad energies, you know, where they can stay, you know.
So, like, if you feel a deep sense of sadness that you can't shake, that would be something just more like candles or... or more?
More like a, something that I can, herb that I can use, and mm-hmm. or you can always do a candle. I recommend people use a white candle light, put it in the living room. That brings light into the home.
It just brings it. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, are there steps you can take, so like when you're living and you're in control, that you can not be stuck? Because I don't want to be stuck. I want to go to the next place, right? So is it just living your life to the fullest, or what do you do? Is there like an insurance policy to not be stuck?
That's a choice. When your moment comes, it's a choice. You either want to go or stay, you know? Mm.
That's interesting.
Like to me, when I tell myself when my time comes, I chose to stay mm-hmm. because I want to continue to help people. Even though I'm on the other side, I still want to be out here. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Now let me ask you this. Are you, can I ask a personal question? Are you in love right now?
In love?
Yeah.
No.
How do you feel about, when was the last time you were in love?
Oh my God. I would say about, 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
Is it hard for you to meet people because you know, listen, when they're coming up on you, you're like, listen.
Look at this fool.
Listen, I see that. No. Save me 5 years. The dick is good, but you're going to fuck me up.
No, it's not hard for me to meet people. You know, I get people, they're like, okay, they accept me and what mm-hmm. I do and this and that. But myself, I know that I'm going in a relationship, it's not going to work out. Mm-hmm. You know, I start seeing the images, the feelings. I'm like, you know, this is going to happen. He's going to cheat on you. Mm-hmm. You're going to find him in bed with somebody else. Those things begin to play out. But see, some ways, like the spirits are telling me, you know, we're going to show you what's going to happen. But it's up to you if you want to go with him, you know, roll with it. And I usually do roll with it.
If the shit is good.
Yeah. No, even though if it's not right yet, you know, but I still go with it because it's a learning process for me. I learn something out of it. You know what I mean?
I think we all have that ability where you just know in your gut, this is not the best situation for me. And it never fails. We will go through the situations that I should have just listened to myself.
Mm-hmm. It was a one night stand.
Yeah.
It was a one night stand. If it was,
this is not gonna be good. Yeah.
Do you find you attract people, like, do you have a savior complex where you try to save and rescue everyone, or?
No, I don't try to save everybody. You know, it's like,
no, but you mean like when you are attracted to people, attracted to you, are they maybe getting that because they're lost and you're looking for a light?
Yes. Yes.
And you want to be that light, or what?
Pretty much, yeah, I do. I want to be that light. I want to show them, you know, there's other ways that you can change or, mm-hmm. you know.
Do you ever want to be following somebody else that has that light, or no?
No, I'm just being myself.
Because you're the alpha. Oh, okay.
No, I'm just
she's the man. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so funny. I had written Mexican folk tales, but what I mean by that is there's so many things out there, like the tarot, and then the ruins, and
shoes on the bed.
Shoes on the bed, and it's all these tools, I guess.
Do not have shoes on your bed.
What do you think about the, like, those mixed, like, bury the baby Jesus and or
actually to the Saint Joseph I was telling earlier, that's to sell a home. Mm-hmm. So what I was saying, get a red cloth, get a statue, wrap it. But you know, when you're gonna bury it upside down, put it in front of your home, that's to sell your home. Mm-hmm. Aloe vera, we all know what that is, right?
Mm-hmm. Savila.
Savila, yeah. You put little red bows on it. Uh-huh. That's like a protection in your home. It absorbs all the bad energy and also brings you good luck. The shoes. I don't know about the under the bed thing, but I know that the shoes, your lover's shoes, you grab those and then you put them in front of the yard facing inward the home. Mm-hmm. That's to keep your man.
Oh,
you know, from leaving, you know what I mean?
He's too Mexican.
Another one is your belt.
Yeah.
You know, you tie that up in the tree so he will never leave.
Hello.
Yeah.
And if you want him to leave, you cut that belt off.
Just take that belt down.
That's your purse.
Don't put your purse on the ground. My mom's still to the shit.
Yeah, you don't put your purse down on the floor because takes away all the bad luck that makes some money go away. Mm-hmm. You always try to put it on the table on a high shelf.
Oh.
Yeah. My mom
just did that yesterday at the comedy show. She's like, no. So she had her purse right in front of her.
Yeah. Another thing I tell women, always carry is a green lime. put it inside the purse and absorbs all the bad energy too.
And you just throw it away.
And throw it away.
Yeah. It's funny, that energy, because it's really, like, ever since I've been doing comedy, I mean, I always could feel the energy, because I always feel like, I feel very blessed, because my whole life I've never gone without a house or food, and I've been in some tough situations. I went through a drug phase too. So, but always, I feel when the chips are down, I feel like a comfort that there's someone like, okay, it's not as bad as it could be.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, keep going, keep going. I feel that. So, but I also feel like, I feel that energy of people too. And I sometimes, I feel compassionate enough to like, to try to help them. But then at some point I realize, there's nothing I can do here. Mm-hmm. It's nothing. They need something more than me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But for me though, I always feel like, I feel like I'm letting them down. You know, do you ever feel like that though? When you, is there someone you just cannot help enough?
Yes.
And you tell them you need something else. You need Jesus. You need Jesus.
Yeah, but I'm glad you brought that up about, you know, that you guys have the little drug problems as well. I also went through that phase.
Yeah.
Hey, and, you know, I was into heavy drugs when I was
young. Do you think that's because you were gay or because...
No, I wasn't gay at that time. Oh. I was straight still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I went through that phase of just trying different kinds of drugs.
Yeah.
I belonged to a gang, and then
really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I was a gang member, yeah. And I thank my mom for praying for me, because I can, at that time I didn't know I was clairvoyant,
mm-hmm.
but I can feel her energy. I can see her crying. I can, all these things were coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I can hear other voices telling me, you know, this is not your life purpose.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what you're supposed to do. You have another path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like telling me, you know, listen to us, you know, take this other path, leave the drugs, leave this world behind,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the things that you're going through. And I eventually did. I mm-hmm. left it all behind, got away, never went back. I mean, 20 years later, went by, and never. I still don't look for it, you know.
It's funny because the drugs, how they work, you know, it's because, I don't know, because I went through that phase, I went through the crystal meth phase too. And but the thing about crystal meth about me, it was some bullshit, was I gained weight. I gained a lot of weight. I always say my dealer was cutting it with calories or something.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I mean,
write that down. It's a good joke.
I always, you know what I mean? Isn't that crazy? Like,
yeah.
Other people would lose weight, and it just gave me more energy to eat more. Drugs did not work.
Yeah, drugs did not
work.
Cash, Jane. That's the worst.
And when I know at least you get skinny.
Yeah.
You know, that's at least. Really? No, but when you do the comedy, though, I lost my train of thought. I was going to say about that. Oh, alcohol. I don't even perform drinking.
No.
Mostly because I'm jealous and I don't want alcohol to be funnier than me.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason is I see people that are drinking and they drink a lot.
A lot.
A lot. A lot. And I'm always amazed because I see them and I'm like, you're really good. You'd be better if you weren't drunk. But there's... What, they're so frightened? Is it just they're like little children frightened? Is that what they're doing? Or?
That's what it is, more likely.
And you know, sometimes it happens, and there's sometimes you're watching the people, and they're just so drunk, and it makes you uncomfortable, and you're like, oh, I do not want to be that guy. I can't drink and go on stage. I told Gene earlier that I had went to go see a friend perform, and then someone didn't show up, and I had already drank one beer,
mm-hmm.
and I was freaking out because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to go on, because they asked me to go on, and it was a mess. So I was no good.
And you're right. You know, when I was mentioning earlier that I used to work for Amsterdam Bar, and I was doing readings there, and a lot of people would buy me drinks,
oh,
you know,
man.
Okay, whatever, and this and that. And I would tell them, no, I can't drink, you know, when I'm doing a reading,
block.
You know. Yeah, I would block.
Yeah, I think that's what it does to your comedy, too. It blocks what's really happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, the good and the bad. Because sometimes, you know, you're up there and you're performing and it's not working, you know?
Right.
And if you're drunk, you'll just keep going. If you're, you know, you're not... Every time you bomb, you're learning.
Yeah.
Every time you bomb, there's something to be learned.
Something happened there.
Yeah, and you're like, when you replay it, because I replay for hours. I'm like, oh, man, I sucked. I hate it. Because in my mind, I'm always one show away from quitting my day job.
Yeah, this is the show.
Yeah, this is the one.
That's the one show.
And then halfway through, I'm like, thank God I have that job. Thank God I have that job.
This is the show at the pizza parlor. It's going to get me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just keep believing what you believe in, and see your guys' career is going to grow a little bit more.
Okay.
Good opportunities are in the race.
Well, I believe it is.
Yeah.
So, every day, really. It is okay.
Well, we're going to do a reading now?
Oh, yes, okay. Yes, sorry.
Do you feel comfortable with that?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, do you want to do it or me? Me, okay. Me.
Yeah, okay.
If you're comfortable. If you're not, I don't want to do anything that you're not comfortable with.
Let's have a drink first. Okay.
So, these are... Do you have a specific tarot that you like to use?
I have so many. I have like probably like 40 different tarot cards. So this one I just picked it out of the blue.
And you said that there's you had mentioned that there's good energy and bad energy. I saw someone have.
Do I cut
the tarot cards with like?
You cut them in three.
What is that? Pentagram. The witch's tarot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are those necessarily bad?
Actually, all tarot cards you can read the same way, mm-hmm. but they just have different pictures and meanings and the vibrational. Some like to read the dark one, like with skeletons and leprechauns and stuff like that. I don't know. I've more like natural, more real.
Okay. Now I have a ghost in this house. She's going to get mad with the tarot cards?
No,
okay.
No, but the first thing I show here, you have a good relationship with your partner, okay? It says here, between your relationship, it's rising. It's going to keep moving forward, okay? This is you. This is you and him talking, being committed. This means that we're moving forward. All
right.
But it's very positive, okay? It says here, there's great love around here between you guys. There's love. It's real. Okay, both of you guys are stable. Both of you guys are very helpful. You guys give a lot to each other.
Did you hear that?
Okay. Now the female that we're talking about earlier, the spirit.
Yeah, in the preview we were talking about in my house, I have a ghost.
Okay, actually this spirit was meant for you to be with you guys at this moment. Mm-hmm. Like somehow she's pushing you, somehow... She's bringing people into you guys' life, you know? Like, she's like a spirit guide, okay? This is good, really good. It says here, you're going to have a good opportunity coming towards your way, okay? It's like a golden open door for you, a new career, a new beginning. Something positive is coming for you. You're going to be talking to another male besides Ernie, you know? There's another male here. Doing the same thing. I don't know if it's going to be another person that's going to join your comedy mm-hmm. or someone that's going to say, hey, let's start this business or this new project. Okay. Okay. Now, there's another female here that you speak with or you talk to that she's going through some issues herself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's not in the right moment. I see her, like, she has problems.
Mm-hmm.
Very light-skinned and kind of short hair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know who this woman is?
Yeah. It's like a friend, someone close to me. Yeah.
Okay. Let her know that things are going to be okay because I see her. She's going to get out of that situation or that problem okay. that she's in. You're very talented. You're very gifted, but this is your blessing from above, so the Lord, okay? But it says here that you're going to have a lot of choices, a lot of things in life. That means, I want to do this, I'm going to go here and this and that. You know, a lot of good opportunities. It also talks about here that you left somebody behind in your past. You know, I don't know if you were committed in a relationship or you met somebody, but they didn't quite work out. You know, it's like, why do I get the feeling that this person tries to come back or tries to have communication with you?
Is it a good person or a bad person?
This person to me, and somehow...
Is it both?
Both, but I see this person likes to either drink or likes to take something, but I don't feel them right.
Yeah, that is, I have an ex-boyfriend that he keeps emailing and calling me and he won't, it was very hard for me to get past that. It could be that,
mm-hmm.
or it could be like my family.
No, I see this, it's somebody that you're involved with.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are you guys going? Because I see a trip coming up for you guys.
Me and Ernie or me and Chris?
Your lover here.
Secret lovers.
There's a trip going. You guys are going to go somewhere together.
Oh.
That's coming in the horizon. It says here you're protected by FEMA. Not the spirit that's here, but another FEMA that crossed over. Female, it's a little bit more like, I would say Ernie's color. Mm-hmm. A little bit dark, short, and very good spirit. This spirit also guiding and protecting you too. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Is it somebody that was in my life that has passed on? Or?
But a family.
It could be. Well.
And it's somebody who passed on.
It could, well, the thing is my mother died, but when she died, she told me very clearly she would not be coming back ever. She said she's going to heaven.
She is. That's why I'm saying that she's somebody who, okay, she's like more like a guardian angel. Okay, this female is here to protect you and guide you. You know, yeah. She's also leading you to the right path as well, yeah. Besides the spirit that's still surrounding you.
It could be, because I never felt like she left. You know, like that, you know.
She's still here.
Yeah.
She's still here. Yeah. You know, you get those feelings because she's trying to let you know, I'm still here, I never left you. You know, she can say that. I believe that she crossed, but she comes and visits you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hear the door knocking. Could be her now.
It shows here that there's your health. It's kind of off balance, okay? So you need to take care of that, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to show great luck around you. But I also see you someone here from your past. Somebody that you're going to meet or somebody from your past is coming. And that's a male energy. I don't know if you lost a good old friend or somebody that you haven't talked to for a while, but they're going to reunite with you again.
Is it good energy?
Good. Very good. Okay. Now, the person that we talked about earlier about this guy that keeps texting you, emailing, is he still bothering you?
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. He keeps trying to come back into my life, and I know better, but sometimes I'm in a different place. Before I allowed that, now I will not allow that because I'm very protective of my boyfriend and my life here. Before I didn't care, and I, you know, but now it's, yeah.
But see, you know what, you had your reasons to go, and you should just continue to move forward. Don't look back, okay? Even though he has feelings for you and this and that, but don't, because nothing's going to change that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I do see you moving forward.
Should I be worried about that? Because I can tell you this. I always feel when I leave that earth, it's going to be at his hands.
Right.
I feel that. I'm not afraid of that, but I know. I mean, he's tried to kill me before, and at the last, you know, I said, just do it. But then something pulled me through.
Right now, I see that he's going to say harsh things. But to me, it sounds like it's that somehow you guys, there was unfinished business between you and him. Mm-hmm. Or him. Okay, but I advise you not to go back. Keep moving forward.
Okay.
Okay, let him say what he has to say. But at the end of the tunnel, he will kind of like go away. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I see you going in like a better place, like being happier, you know. Mm-hmm. Your relationship is real stable. You don't have to worry about him going somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys have some kind of little issues there, but those are normal issues. A lot of time, I don't know if I'm right, but it's kind of like finances, you know, talk about men and this and that. Mm-hmm. But you have a really happy relationship here. I'm telling you, you're a good person. I see here that you and him are meant. And it stops here.
Okay.
Don't go back to the other guy.
No, I would never go back. Uh-huh. But I always, he tries to trick himself into coming into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that could never happen because of that.
He's going to try it one more time. Okay, he's going to try one more time.
That's why I always do this thing before I'm recording. But yeah.
Okay, he's going to try one more time. But like I said, don't turn back.
Yeah.
There's two females around here very close to you. I'm glad to see you. They're very lovable, like kind of like sisters, mm-hmm. but there's two females very close here towards you. Like they're very loving and giving towards you.
Yeah.
Trust these two women. Now, do you have a connection with an older male, like a father or somebody here that's older?
I do.
Okay. Now, still living?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this man, I see lots of family gathering or something. I see the family very strong because of him.
It could be the owner of the comedy club that I work at.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps, it's like a family, and he facilitates, and he is, you know.
Okay. Okay. If that's how you feel that this person fits, but I see here that this man's going to help you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, this family, he likes to see this family really close,
mm-hmm.
but this man's going to open doors.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Good doors. He's going to help a lot in your life. Says here, you're going to get a lot of challenges. Don't give up. Continue to do what you love to do. Says here, you're going to conquer all things. That means you're going to overcome all these obstacles. At the end of the tunnel, you're going to start shining like a star. Okay? So
that's good. Thank you.
Yeah. Very cool.
I don't know what to say. Thank you.
That's
a good gift.
Yeah.
It's so funny about the two females because I am in a comedy troupe with those two girls. So it's very interesting.
Oh, very cool. But you know what? I don't want to go without letting people. Well, I have one question. And hold on, maybe. Okay. I'm just pausing so he can edit it. Okay. So I have a question. One question for you. What would you tell someone out there, whether it's kids, adults, or discovers that they have these types of feelings or see these types of visions and they are thinking of pursuing being a clairvoyant or a medium or whatever it may be? What would you tell them?
First thing I would tell them to be, if it's a young child or a teenager, it's for them to open up to their parents, let them know what you're going through, okay? There's schools for that now. There's classes that a teenager or a child can go to and develop their, expand their mind, their gifts. You know, when I was growing up, there wasn't, it wasn't too much open about spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
We didn't have those things.
Even on TV, it's positive now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now there's a lot of shows about mediums, psychics, stuff like that now that, you know. But I would open up, first thing is with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you know, seek somebody who give out classes.
So don't be ashamed.
No,
nothing bad. Okay. And if someone wanted to get in contact with you,
Actually, I have a. You can email me, and that's Chris KRIS, and it's love LOVE 0624@gmail.com.
No, Chris Love 0624@gmail.com.
That is correct.
Okay. And we'll post it on our page too.
Awesome. Well, Chris.
Thank you.
Christopher, sorry. My name is Chris.
With a K.
Hey. This was very, very cool. Very exciting. And I learned a lot.
I'm glad.
Today. Yeah.
I'm glad.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for having me here.
Of course. You're always welcome.
Yeah.